If you are single here today, you understand that to remain sexually pure in our society as a single individual is a very, very difficult task.
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, welcome to Straight Talk. This is Pastor Mark Jobe. Great to be with you once again on this program. I love the city of Chicago. I've been a pastor in this city for over 30 years now. I started pastoring when I was 21, and I've pastored from the north side to the south side. I started out pastoring in Back of the Yards neighborhood where there were gang members on our front steps that I would regularly talk to and challenge and say, this is God's corner, so move your drug activity somewhere else. I've pastored on the north side in Lincoln Park and Lakeview that are more young professional neighborhoods. And so I know this city well and love this city. And my heart is burdened that we have the reputation of being one of the most violent cities in the United States of America. Even up till now, over 2,000 people have been shot since January to this summer in this city. And my heart was super saddened, not only at the violence that we've seen in Chicago, but the violence that we've seen across our nation. It's been violence perpetuated between people on the streets of Chicago, gang violence. Recently, there's been violence against police officers. Our nation is at a boiling point. And here's what I want to challenge the people of God to do. I know that this is a tense issue. There's racial tensions across this country and in our cities. But I want to challenge you to be brokers of peace. Over and over in Scripture, we are called to be agents of peace. It doesn't mean that you can't express your opinion. It doesn't mean that you can't stand up for injustice that's happening. But let's channel our voices to be voices of peace for this nation. We are the peacemakers working towards solution, not inciting violence, working towards helping bringing people together, not separating people. The people of God have always, always been called to be peace brokers. In fact, we are agents of reconciliation. Let's continue to pray for our nation, continue to pray for the city of Chicago, and continue to be ambassadors of peace for the King of Kings, our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Straight Talk. Pastor Mark continues his series called Straight Talk on Singleness, Sex, and Marriage today with Part 4, God's Ground Rules for Sexuality in Marriage. Let's jump right into the message. Our text will be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 9. Here's Pastor Mark with his message called God's Ground Rules for Sexuality in Marriage.
Over the last couple of weeks, we have been talking about Straight Talk on Singleness, Sex, and Marriage. After last week, I've had a couple of people come up to me and say, Pastor, I never knew that we'd be talking about this stuff in church. And my standard answer is, hey, where else are you going to learn about this? From sitcom TV? From the neighborhood bar? From street talk? I mean, God has a lot to say about every aspect of our life, including our sexuality and marriage and things that normally we wouldn't think we'd be talking about in church, but are just as sacred and holy as any other topic that we would deal with. And so this morning, I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. A pastor was visiting a fourth grade Sunday school class to talk about marriage as a part of the lesson, and he asked the class, what does God say about marriage? Immediately, a bright-eyed fourth grader raised his hand. Me. And he said, yes, young man. He said, I think it says, forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do. Some of us have that mentality towards marriage, but marriage is something that God places in high regard. We've talked about this before, but the Corinthian church was a group of believers that was planted in the middle of a very immoral society. They were planted in the middle of Party City. There was a lot of immorality, a lot of partying, a lot of everything goes mentality. And so many of them had to relearn what it means to be Christian and what it means to manage our sexuality as singles and as married individuals in a society that's gone sex crazy. Last week we saw that the Apostle Paul is arguing for, from a theological perspective, why it's so vital that as singles you keep your sexual purity saved until marriage. And if you are single here today and you weren't here last week, you need to run, not right now, but run after service to the CD table and say, I need the CD from last week, because you need to understand God's rationale on purity. I had a young man approach me this morning on the north side, and he came up to me and he said, you know, I grew up in a church all my life. And he said, I always heard them say no to sex, say no to sex, but no one would ever tell me why. He said, last week, for the first time, I discovered a cohesive, logical, theological perspective on why purity is so important in our lives. And so you need to get a hold of that CD. And today, we're going to talk about marriage, God's ground rules for sexuality in marriage. You see, in Corinth, there are two extremes. One extreme were people that were saying, hey, sex is just like eating a hot dog, hamburger. I mean, your stomach growls, you have something to eat. Sex is like a bodily function. You have a sexual urge, you go and have sex with someone. And so they had a very casual view of sex. On the other extreme, you had a group of people that viewed sex as dirty, evil, or lower. And in the Roman culture, celibacy had been elevated to a high degree. And so you had a movement, the aesthetic movement, people that felt like all bodily things should be denied. You had a movement of people that thought that abstaining from all kinds of sex was the higher way to go, and that all sex was evil and bad, and celibacy was the call for everybody. The problem was that some people had gotten married and were convinced by these people, even in marriage, that celibacy was the way to go. So Paul is arguing with these individuals about what it means to have a right perspective in marriage. And so we'll begin reading in verse 1. It says, now for the matters you wrote about, it is good for a man not to marry. But since there is so much immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. So first of all, he starts dealing with the whole topic of managing our sexuality in marriage. And the first point that he makes is that when both partners enjoy sexual intimacy, it safeguards them against immorality. Now notice what he says. Obviously, the Corinthians, we talked about this before, they had written Paul with a series of questions, and Paul was answering their questions. They had said, the celibates had said, hey, isn't it better not to ever have sex at all? The NIV says it's good for a man not to marry. That's actually not the greatest translation of this passage. In the original language, it says it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Now, in the ancient Greek manuscripts, this expression is found at least 9 times. And every time it's found, it has to do with sexual intercourse. So a better translation of this passage is, these celibates were saying, it's better for a man not to touch a woman. In other words, it's better for a man never to have sexual relationships with any woman, right? In other words, they had concluded that celibacy was the higher road. That all kinds of sex was bad, whether in marriage or out of marriage. And that celibacy, abstinence, was more holy, was better, was more sanctified than having sex. Paul answers that question by saying, hey, but since there is so much immorality, the word immorality here is porneia, and it's used in the plural form, which means since there is so many different kinds of sexual activity or immoralities among you. You live in a society where there is all kinds of sexual perversity going on, all kinds of promiscuity going on. And since you live in that kind of society, he says, I am telling you that each man should have his own wife and that each woman should have her own husband. What the Apostle Paul is saying is that there were some of these individuals that thought that sex was bad. And so they thought that it was a higher calling for them to be celibate all their life. And so there's some individuals that were trying to be celibate while they were single, but they were having a really hard time at being celibate because that was not their call. Later on, we'll see that celibacy is a call. I want to tell you something today. If you are single here today, and you are single and you are over 20 years old or over 18 years old, you understand that to remain sexually pure in our society as a single individual is a very, very difficult task. I mean, you are going against the flow. You are going contrary to what the culture teaches you, to what your friends are doing, and to whatever all the signals around you are telling you that's normal. In fact, if you are going to remain sexually pure today and you're a single individual, I'm going to tell you, you are going to have to be intentional, strategic. You are going to have some strong convictions and some strong ideas about why purity is such an important thing in your life. Or, if not, you will fall as well. Now, Paul is saying because sexual immorality was so rampant, he said the best safeguard against sexual immorality is a ring. Hey, get married. Don't try to white knuckle and say, I want to stay single because that's the highest call of my life. He says, just get married. There's a lot of immorality around. Get married. Can I encourage you? I've told a lot of couples that. We have a lot of couples that come to New Life that are cohabiting. You're living together, and it's just part of the culture. A lot of couples nowadays, they say, we're going to try it out before we get married. It's kind of like going to the dealership and saying, you know, can I test drive the car to see, you know, how it handles and how it goes? And so the mentality with a lot of people is we're going to live together for a while. We're going to test it out. And if it works out good, then we're going to go to married. What happens, though, in a lot of cases is people get used to test driving. They don't have to pay the payment on the car. So they say, you know, we're going to test drive it. And here it is 10 years later and you're still test driving. And I want to say that although it makes sense when you're buying a car to test drive it, when it comes to marriage, couples that live together before they get married have a harder time in marriage. The divorce rate is higher. The dysfunction is higher. In other words, it is not God's plan for you to cohabit or live with someone before you get married. It's God's plan that you remain sexually pure and that you date and you get to know that individual. And when the time comes, in remaining sexually pure, you say yes in front of an altar, and that's when you begin your sexual relationship with your spouse.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled God's Ground Rules for Sexuality and Marriage. It's from our series called Straight Talk on Singleness, Sex, and Marriage. Please stay tuned to learn how you can get a free copy of this message as well as information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 7, verses 1 through 9. Pastor Mark's message today is called God's Ground Rules for Sexuality in Marriage.
Now, Paul is saying this. He's saying that when both partners enjoy sexual intimacy, it safeguards against immorality. And don't try to remain single for a long time when you're not called to singleness. Marriage is a good thing. It's not a bad option. It's a great thing, the Apostle Paul is saying. In fact, he's telling us that it is a safeguard against rampant immorality in our society. Point number two Paul makes. He goes on to say, look what it says in verse 3. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband. The second point that Paul makes is that an active sex life is part of God's job description for spouses. In other words, there was a problem, first of all, that singles were too sexually active. And Paul is saying, get married. And then there was a problem with married people. There are some people in marriage that had embraced celibacy and were not sexually active enough in their marriage. And so Paul is telling the married couples, hey, this is part of God's plan for your life in marriage, that you should have a very sexually active marriage. That's part of God's plan. In fact, he describes it this way. He says the husband should fulfill his marital duty. I don't really like the word duty because it sounds like take out the garbage duty, you know. All right, I got to do this job. Okay, it's my job to take out the garbage or change the oil in the car. I'll do it if I have to. Literally, the word that's used there is the word to owe someone something. In other words, it is the husband's duty that he owes his wife sexual intimacy. And it likewise, it's the wife's duty that she owes her husband sexual intimacy. And by the way, the Greek verb is in the present imperative, which indicates a habitual duty. This is an ongoing debt that we have to one another. In other words, it's not, hey, I did it on our honeymoon, that should last for 20 years. No, this is a habitual, ongoing duty that you have towards one another. And so Paul is arguing, he is saying to these married couples, he is telling them in no uncertain terms that it is that part of God's plan when you say, yes, I do at the altar, that you are saying, yes, I do to the entire package. That part of your responsibility as a husband is that I understand that I have an obligation, body, soul, and spirit. And part of what I'm committing to is I am committing to regularly and on a consistent, habitual basis to help satisfy the needs of my wife and the wife likewise to her husband. It reminds me of the guy that was a little frustrated with his marriage in this area. And so before going to bed, he offered his wife 2 aspirin. She said, I don't have a headache. He said, I got you. And oftentimes there's frustration in marriage. For whatever reasons, there's dysfunction in marriage, and oftentimes what God perceives to be natural and normal and healthy breaks down. And so we have marriages that for whatever reason have lost that intimacy. And we have sexless marriage. There's no intimacy there. It's not habitual. There's no romance there. For whatever reasons, it has come to a screeching halt. And what Paul is arguing is that that's not God's way. In fact, it's broken down. God's way is that each of you should give yourself to your spouse. That's something that you owe. That's something that you continue to owe to one another. And it's God's plan for a healthy marriage that helps bring about oneness. It honors God and it brings oneness to the marriage. Third point that Paul makes in verse 4. He says the wife's body does not belong to her alone, but also to her husband. In the same way, the husband's body does not belong to him alone, but also to his wife. There seemed to be this mentality among the Corinthian peoples that either the husband or the wife was saying, hey, this is my body. I choose to be celibate, or I choose not to get involved sexually and in our marriage. And so this is my body. I have authority over my own body. The Apostle Paul says, wait a second, you have a wrong perspective. You see, the moment that you got married, it ceased to be just your body. And the Bible says the two shall become one. So therefore, now his body is yours and her body is his. And so now there is a oneness that occurs there. I heard a fellow speaking at a marriage conference one time. He said he walked through the kitchen, and as he was walking through the kitchen, he gave his wife a little tap on the behind, and she said, what are you doing? He says, I'm just tapping the favorite part of my body. You see, the two shall become one. Now, some people have viewed this selfish individuals have used this part of Scripture and have used it as leverage to demand sex in marriage. And I believe that Paul's perspective is totally different on this passage. In fact, what I think Paul is really arguing is for unselfishness in sexual intimacy in marriage. Because what he's saying to the married partners is he's talking to them about putting your spouse's needs first in sexual intimacy. It honors God and it promotes oneness. Because in essence, what he's saying is the husband could go into this relationship saying, "This is my body, I want my needs satisfied." Or the wife could say, "This is my body, I want my needs satisfied." And what Paul argues is he says, no, you are not just concerned about your body, but you are also concerned about your wife's body. It's not just about you, it's also about her. And in the wife's perspective, it's not just about her, it's about her husband as well. So what happens is that if you are looking out to the interest of your wife, as a husband, you'll be asking yourself, how do I please my wife? And as a wife, you'll be asking yourself, how do I please my husband? So therefore, there's this healthy, beautiful compromise that happens. People in sitting down and talking about marital issues, oftentimes when a couple is struggling in this area, they'll try to nail down how often is normal. And some guys say, well, you know, I argue for this many times a week, and someone else argues for that many times a week, and it's almost to try to have leverage about how often sexual intimacy should happen. And I believe what Paul is arguing is that the husband should be looking at the wife's needs, and the wife should be looking at the husband's needs, and then they'll find a healthy compromise. And maybe one partner's going to have to pull back, and another partner's going to have to pull up, but both are looking out not just for their own needs, but they're looking out for the needs of the other individual. In fact, if you look at Ephesians chapter 5 and 6, you realize that Paul talks about this whole thing, and he talks about marriage representing the relationship that Christ has with the church. And the whole context of that passage is he talks about the husband loving his wife like he loves himself and willing to give himself fully, lay down his body for her. Let me tell you something about the wrong mentality that we have. If you're single and if you're used to a hedonistic lifestyle, you know what hedonism is? It's the unabashed pursuit of pleasure for yourself. Let me tell you, if your ultimate goal here today is to be happy and to please yourself, can I give you a big wake-up call? You are miserable. Because the individuals that make their ultimate goal in life to please themselves, they'll step on people, they'll hurt people, because ultimately their desire is that it's all about them. It's all about their needs. It's all about what they want. They'll step on people. They'll manipulate people. They'll trash people. They have no commitment. Why? Because it's all about their needs. It's all about their happiness. And it's all about their pleasure. And if your life is all about you, and if your life is all about you being happy and you being satisfied, then I pity the person that's married to you. And guess what? I pity you. Because ultimately, the most miserable people on the earth are the people that put their own pleasure and their own happiness above everything else in life. They end up committing suicide. They end up in depression. They end up lonely, drinking some bottle in some godforsaken corner because they've used and manipulated everybody around them, and they find themselves very empty and in very shallow life. Let me tell you how to be the most fulfilled person on the face of this earth. When you determine life is not about me, but life is about God and His glory. Life is about bringing honor to God and giving honor to Jesus as Lord and King.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe in Chicago with a message entitled God's Ground Rules for Sexuality and Marriage. It's from his current series called Straight Talk on Singleness, Sex, and Marriage. Join us again on the next Straight Talk for the second half of this message. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. We also invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 25 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.